world touring comic book artist, you know, big Canadian star. And it's really nice to see people that jump from, you know, when good things happen to good people, and you see people with talent have those big successes.
So your memory is just specifically attached to the song, or is it just her overall presence that whenever you hear this Lights track, you like just brings you back to that time in 2007?
Yeah, so this was on the first EP, and that was probably one of the first songs that I heard from her, and it just sort of sat so far outside of what I listened to at the time. And if you had told me beforehand, you're really going to love this song, I would have said you're nuts. But then as soon as it punches in, there's just something about it that just really really gets to me and really brings me back to also what I really love about radio and working in radio as well.
Right at the time. Okay, so why don't we play that track right now? The song's called
Second Go
from Lights here on the 3 for 30. So your second song is Festival Song by Jeff Rosenstock. Why Jeff Rosenstock?
Jeff Rosenstock, Long Island, a DIY punk rock guy. He's been around for at least 15, 20 years doing music under different bands, Bomb the Music Industry, Arrogance. Am I allowed to say that?
It's called a bleep. Don't worry about it.
All right. He's always been one of those guys who is so incredibly talented, but has never really like used his powers for evil. He's always released his music under like a pay what you can model. He's somebody who very much came up in this like DIY New York scene and has really like held onto those roots versus exploiting them. And he's really gained a lot of notoriety in the last maybe 3-4 years. And Festival Song is a song that really speaks to me because it talks a lot about just like big brands and big corporations sort of getting involved in these sort of grassroots movements.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great live version of this track where he's at the Pitchfork Music Festival and he talks about being really uncomfortable with being there because of the music that he plays and sort of finding this balance between, you know, being this kind of anti-establishment guy, but also playing on like, you know, like the Lyft stage and feeling really weird about that.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the chorus of the song says, you know, they wouldn't be your friend if you weren't worth something. And that really is something that speaks to me as both a consumer and, you know, you see all these, you know, brands that are really trying to be really cool and, you know, like Wendy's Twitter account style stuff where it's like, you know, they're not doing that. They're doing that for a purpose. They're doing that as a, you know, a means to an end, which is profit.
Mm-hmm.
And also as somebody who works for a really big corporation and sort of finding that balance between, you know, knowing what's right and what's wrong. You know, I think that the company that I work for does a lot of good things, but then there's also some bad things that they do and
sure.
sort of being stuck in the middle of that. And this song is just one of those ones that really...
I wouldn't say bad. I would say just something you just don't agree with. It's just not in your mindset.
Yeah, there's a lot of, what do you call that? You know, conglomeration of media and sort of sucking a lot of the fun out of, you know, what, you know, radio and discovering music is truly about. And, like, that's not what corporate radio is anymore or ever was.
Mm-hmm.
So being a part of that sometimes feels weird, especially as somebody who writes advertising and putting this, you know, ads into the world. You know, sometimes you feel... So I feel weird about that. I feel weird about what I do. And, you know, you think, you know, does this serve a better purpose?
Oh, I see. Okay. Does it serve a better purpose? The way I have always understood in my mind as a person growing up, and you develop that DIY mentality of I really get passionate about music, and this is my music, and this is my leader. Like, I follow the same values, and you have that mindset, and now you get into the corporate world, and you're writing advertising, you're doing all of these things. They're not matching up, but you have gotten older. Your belief system has changed a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely has. And, you know, you kind of have to, it's finding that balance between, like, you know, looking out for yourself, but also looking out for, you know, the world as a whole, I suppose. And that's, you know, I think what this song is really about.
So that's the balance that you try to find.
Yes.
And with Jeff Rosenstock, he reminds you of what you were at this certain point of time in your value system. And how you could still be that even though you're 10 years older, 12 years older in your mind. Am I speaking for you or am I
No, I certainly think about the song and it really makes me, you know, sort of take pause and think about, you know, what I'm doing and how, you know, I, you know, as part of, you know, as part of the world and part of the universe, you know, am, you know, impacting other things.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Why don't we play that song right now? Here's Festival Song by Jeff Rosenstock here on the 3 for 30.
Ridiculous that I'm a willing participant.
Okay, so your last song for the 3 for 30 is Permanent Honeymoon by Teen Ravine, a duo band. I still haven't figured out if they're a duo or a full band.
They're both. They're both.
Yeah. So Teen Ravine, the song Permanent Honeymoon, what's the connection with you?
This isn't the song that I wanted to use for my 3 for 30. The song that I wanted to use was Permanent Honeymoon by the Nick Rose Band. Uh-huh. Nick Rose, obviously, he's one of the two members of the duo Teen Ravine with Dan Griffin, two very, very talented artists who sort of come together and made this really interesting sound. Nick Rose was a member of a band called Sweet Thing, this indie pop band from Toronto, and they put out this one self-titled album that I thought was just smoking hot. It was so good, and then they broke up. But the reason that the song is so special to me is because it was the song that my wife and I danced to at our wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Melissa and I, we heard the song Permanent Honeymoon by Sweet Thing at a concert one day, and we loved it. We were just that perfect, like, holding hands moment, thinking, like, I know in my mind I was thinking, like, this is it. This is the song that when we get married that we're going to dance to.
Sure.
Sweet Thing breaks up. They don't release Permanent Honeymoon as, like, a recorded track. So all of a sudden, I'm scrambling because there's no other song. This is the song. This is our song.
Yeah.
So I used some of my guile of, you know, reaching out to artists that I learned, you know, from the Light story. That's a little callback to the earlier part of the broadcast.
Yeah.
So I messaged Nick Rose because he was the lead singer on this particular track. Said, "Hey Nick, like, do you have this? You know, this song? Did Sweet Thing record it? Let me know." I don't hear from him for a while. And I'm thinking, crap, like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Finally, about a month before our wedding, he messages me and he says, "Hey, so sorry, didn't get back to you, but Sweet Thing never did, like, a studio version of this song. However, I did a version of the song with my own band. I'm going to send it to you. Let me know what you think." And it's just this beautifully arranged, it's just the perfect wedding sounding first dance song of the song that we wanted. And one of the things that he said to me was, like, "Don't play this for anybody because I'm working on some other music."
Sure.
And I don't want, like, this sort of, like, introduced into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And which that ended up being was the Teen Ravine, their first album, and the version Permanent Honeymoon that's on this Teen Ravine album is different. But as soon as I hear it, it's a little spookier. It's kind of got a bit of a, you know, spooky vibe, a little different, more in line with their sound. But I hear it and I just think about, you know, the love of my life and, you know, dancing at our wedding.
Right.
And that's cheesy, but
it's not cheesy. It's your memory, it's your feelings, it's the connection that you have with the music, right? So we all have them.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean that's the whole point of this segment is this is what it is. I think that's a fantastic story. I think that's awesome that you went the extra yard to get that song and to hold on to that meaning and the memory,
yeah,
you know, with you and your wife. So, Alex, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and doing the 3 for 30 with us. And we're going to spin Permanent Honeymoon by Teen Ravine on the 3 for 30.
Wouldn't you like to go on a one-way? That's a retro 3 for $30 on Steel City Music. I guess I better start doing those again. I've been doing so many different things that I haven't been doing brand new 3 for $30s, and I've been re-airing the ones that I amassed back in 2019 and the early part of 2020. They're a lot of fun to do. I enjoy the conversation, finding out about, you know, what a song means to someone, their specific memory that goes with it, good, bad, whatever it is. I also appreciate everyone sharing them as well. So I really should get back to doing that. So if you would like to do a 3 for $30, shoot me an email, steelcitymusic.ca, of course. I say that all the time in contact. Go, hey, Gunner, I listened to a couple of the 3 for $30s, whatever. I have three songs. I have three specific memories that are attached with them, you know. So, but yeah, when you do this, by the way, make sure it's like a, I really don't want anyone to like completely bare their soul, because that is a very hard thing to do for some folks, right? Like we're guarded because we don't want to get hurt. And sometimes when we share things, we need just for that little bit of, to be uplifted, that sort of thing. Also, if someone has gone through something similar and they hear the same type of story, they know that they're not alone in a sense, right? And it also gives you another perspective on the music itself. Like, God, you know, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Bob Dylan version, or Cream, or Clapton version, I always enjoy. Yet Guns N' Roses version, I think is complete garbage. Whereas a lot of other people go, oh, could you see that, man? Guns N' Roses. No, I just think it's garbage. But if someone, I appreciate their version more if I hear someone would say, hey, this song here, it helped me out going through this time and this situation. I tend to change the light how I look at it. Sometimes I just go, well, it's not as bad as I thought it was. At least it helped that person. I know, I'm wishy-washy. That's how I am. We're all like this, right? You know, this is, I'm like an American voter. It's what I am. I make this joke, of course, pre-recording the show at the beginning of this horrible week that is, we're inundated with the American media and culture. And of course, Trump and Biden are going to go at it. And what's the date today? Oh, yeah, November 3rd. So this is the day. So I'm just like completely tuning myself out to all of that nonsense until about 9 o'clock. And then I'm going to turn on and watch TVO, picture my face, the Teenage Head documentary. It's a, you know, I want to see how the legacy is portrayed. So there you go. Yeah. And when you hear this, you'll be like going, oh, this is all in the past. Yeah, I know. It's a pre-recorded show. Okay. So, earlier on in the show, I mentioned about doing the call out, of course, and I still keep doing that. If you want an interview, you want to promote something, blah, 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 steelcitymusic.ca, contact me and we'll set some stuff up. Bandit of Windsor, contacted me and I like the backstory. They've been around since the early 2000s. They recorded in Toronto. They were a brother duo. And, of course, it's a garage rock style of music that they perform. And even self-admittedly, during the interview, Mike from the band, when I asked him, I said, you know, how old were you? Like trying to find it. Because if you find out someone's age group, what they're going through, then you can figure out what maybe some of the struggles that they had learning something or acknowledging or never been a part of. So it's all new to them. And he said, oh, we were quite young. So I was like, okay, well, I'll take it for that. You were young when you started out. So, but they went through some changes in style, not so much changes in styles of music, but covers that they did, that sort of thing. So I took some of their music, had a chat with Mike from the Hypnotics. It's garage style. Check it out here on Steel City Music. Enjoy. Hey, joining me on the line right now is a dude out of Windsor from the band Hypnotics. They have a new single out called Soul at 7. And I'm pretty excited about having a chat with Mike right now because I never get a chance to find out about Windsor, you know, the music scene there and the music that comes out of that area. So I'm really looking forward to this. Mike, thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat with us over at Steel City Music.
Oh yeah, thanks. No problem.
I got an email from your brother, I believe, telling me a little bit about the band and everything. So I was immediately, you know, I read it and I never get a chance to really talk to a lot of garage bands and that. And you guys seem to have been around for a little while, since 2010. I think you guys go back somewhere along those lines. Tell us how the Hypnotics started.
Yep. So we actually recorded our first, we released our first album, Static Fuzz Radio, I think in December of 2011. So we formed a little bit before that. Yeah. And the brother, you know, me and my brother are the ones that started the band. Yeah, we've been going. We've released two full-length albums, and we have an EP out, I think. We have a single out. And, you know, there was a couple years where there was some downtime, so we weren't doing too much. But, yeah, we've been going, yeah.
Why, have you guys have always lived in the Windsor area? Is this where you get your influence from garage rock, or was that an influence from anything coming over from Detroit, that sort of thing?
Yeah. We've always been from Windsor, and the good thing about Windsor is exactly what you mentioned. You know, just the proximity to Detroit. They're so influential in rock and roll, whether that's, you know, garage rock or whatever. So many legendary artists have come out from there in all styles of music. You know, so yeah. It's not just the rock music. But yeah, I definitely, you know, being so close to Detroit definitely has its benefits for us because we're so close to a major music city, and like I said, they've been influential across, you know, all kinds of genres, whether that's techno or whatever. So right. It's great to be so close to it.
Garage rock is the is what you guys play. I guess, you know, straight up, some of the influences right off the top of my head is going to be the Stooges. Does that hold true with you guys, or are there lesser known garage bands that have influenced you?
Yeah. Well, see, I've always considered us a rock and roll band, but, you know, just to have our aesthetic, you know, out there. Yes, we do refer to ourselves as a garage rock band because, you know, I always felt that the best rock and roll bands, it's honest music, and it feels like, you know, you're playing in a room, you know.
Right.
So, you know, obviously for me, you know, bands like the Rolling Stones and the Velvet Underground, definitely the Stooges, Iggy Pop, you know, the Clash, you know, all the great legendary rock bands that, you know, everybody knows as being so influential, legendary. That's kind of what I like. And so, you know, we just try to do that, just play rock and roll music and follow in the footsteps of all those greats. Yeah, as far as other influences, like I like songwriters. You know, it's not only just the loud rock and roll bands. You know, I like, you know, Bob Dylan and Neil Young and things like that. And you know, obviously, all kinds of great artists, you know, and so that's what we get inspiration from.
you said that you put out Static Fuzz Radio. That was about 2011 you put that out. And then in 2015, excuse me, you had you put out Modern Art Entertainment. That's a four-year gap there. How did you feel about the difference between the two albums? Did the sound change at all? Did the style of writing change at all for you? Because also you mentioned earlier, you know, garage rock is what that people tend to label you, but you're more of a rock and roll band. So how has the sound changed that much from Static Fuzz Radio to Modern Art Entertainment?
Well, when we made Static Fuzz Radio, everything was still new to us. You know, like we were going, you know.
How old were you when you did that?
We were younger, you know, but, you know, when we were in Toronto, we were recording Static Fuzz Radio, you know, we were in a studio for the first time and things like that. And by the time we came to Modern Entertainment, we usually had, you know, more of a feel on how a studio works and how a recording works and the whole process. So we were more comfortable with that. I think the songwriting on Static Fuzz Radio was more of a step up. We were trying some different things on there. When we did that album, you know, I always thought there was a lot of rock and roll on it now, but listening to it in retrospect, you know, there's a lot of variation on there. You know, there's an acoustic song on there, like a finger picking song. It was influenced by, you know, listening to all those acoustic songs on the Beatles' White Album, for example. There's something like that on there. You know, my brother had written some kind of like a short surf instrumental. So there was all kinds of things in there. But at the same time, you know, we had some of our loud rockers on there too. So I just think that it was a progression, not taking anything away from the first album either. It's just, like I said, just a progression, you know, getting more used to it and things like that. So that's how I feel about that, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Guess I'm Falling in Love. It was an EP that you put out back in 2014.
Yeah, so Guess I'm Falling in Love. So right before we recorded Modern Art Entertainment, you know, we were looking for a new drummer. Our previous drummer had decided to leave, and you know, we wanted to get back into the recording. Guess I'm Falling in Love is actually a Velvet Underground cover. And on the B-side, we decided to rock up a couple of Hank Williams songs. So what we did before we went in is we just to get our feet wet, because it's been so long. It was so long since we had been in the studio for Static Verse Radio. Like you said, it was a couple years or whatever. We just went in and decided to record a couple covers for fun. And I actually played drums on that. You know, so that was an interesting experience for me.
It was fun,
you know. It was fun. It was something different, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of great artists that play drums on their records. You know,
sure.
Prince does that, and you know, McCartney used to do that in the Beatles sometimes. But anyway, we recorded that, and we're like, oh, let's just put it out. And then we had, you know, Guess Who Fall in Love with the main song of the Velvet Underground song. Obviously, we love the Velvet. I've got fever in my pocket. You know I've got to move. Hey, babe, I guess I'm falling in love. I've got fever in my pocket, down to my shoes.
You better.
know, we were listening to a lot of Hank Williams at the time, and the one song that I sang, The Mansion on the Hill, we kind of modeled it after the Bob Dylan album, New Morning, kind of the arrangement. Like, we changed the arrangement around because, you know, that's one of my favorite Bob Dylan albums, so we kind of put a little different spin on it. Tonight, down here. It's got a hole in it, another Hank Williams song, and it was just a fun thing just to kind of get our feet wet again. So that's basically what that is, and we just kind of put it out there for free. And that was, like I said, it was kind of a precursor to back in the studio with Modern Men Entertainment.
Oh,
Which, you know, we talked about the previous albums and the singles, that sort of thing. Now, tell me about Soul at Seven. It came out October 8th. Give us the backstory on this track.
Yeah, so that's actually a pretty interesting story. So right before the COVID hit and everything, we were getting ready to go back into the studio to begin recording our third album. And obviously with COVID and stuff, you know, we've kind of slowed down a little bit. But we decided it was a good time to go see what we had in our archives, to see what we had there, because we traditionally recorded more for an album than we put out. Soul at Seven was actually the last song we had recorded for our first album, Static Coast Radio. I remember we did it right at the end of the sessions, and I recall we were in the studio. We were tracking live. So what that means, for those that don't know, is the drums and bass, like, we all play together, and that gets recorded first. And then what we'll do is we'll either overdub, the guitars or fix anything that needs to. For the final recording, but it was right at the end, and I remember we're saying, well, should we just record this while we're all set up? And we're like, yeah. So we just ran through it very quickly. It might have even been a one take song. We just maybe played it once, maybe twice. So while we were had all this downtime, we just went through. We found it, and it needed a proper mix. So we had sent it back up to our producer, who co-produced our first album, Dean Marino. He was responsible for producing our Static Quiz Radio, him and somebody named Jade Sadlowski. So he was still mixing, and he decided to give it a fresh mix, and we heard it back, and we're like, wow, it would be fun to put that out as a single, you know, to us. It sounded good, and it actually never fit in with the material on the first album, and it's kind of funny to hear that, because it was actually one of the first songs I had ever written. It's probably more closer to the second album, or more of an in-between thing, so it doesn't really fit in with the aesthetic of the first album, or the way the songs ended up being, like as an artistic decision. But it ended up sounding really good, so we never forgot about it. We found it and we're like, oh well, let's see what we can do with that. So we ended up mixing it. Dean sent it back to us. We got it mastered, and we decided to put it out.
Okay, just one more question, and I'm trying to figure out whether I'm going to drop that in there or not. I'll do it on the back end of this. Where are the Hypnotics now during the COVID situation we're involved with? Any more recordings? Or are you going to be doing any virtual shows? Anything like that?
Yeah. So we're just right now. We're just like before, like I mentioned before, the COVID hit. We were ready to go into the studio. We had a bunch of songs written. In the meantime, since COVID hits, we haven't been practicing, haven't been doing much, but I've been, working on the demos. My brother's been working on some demos, and we have a lot of material. So, when we're ready, we're going to, get back together and go into the studio. We'd like to spend the next, while, since there might not be a lot of live shows or whatever come up, just going back in the studio and just recording as much as we can, just, getting a backlog of material again, and, putting out some records. We want to put out some more recordings, more records. So that's basically where we're at. We're still around, and, we're getting ready to do our next LP, which is we're excited about. Hey, this is Mike from the Hypnotics. You can find out more information about us online on our social media pages. Check out our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And also you can hear us on all the streaming services.
listening to C101.5 FM The Hawk from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're hanging out with Gunnar here on Steel City Music. In this hour, we will have a chat with Brian Cuddy, local singer-songwriter out of Toronto, Ontario, I believe, on Well Pal Records. Cool dude. Had a really nice chat with him about his music, his new video, and his connections with some of the same friends that we both have and share. Pretty awesome. Also, going to get some requests as well. Back a long time ago, I spun this track called Leon Bridges, and it was the song River. So I'm going to throw that in here just before that. Also got a request for this track, Indian Summer, Jim Morrison, that I had spun a while back too. Someone heard it, really liked it, asked if I could hear it again and send him a link and all the other stuff so they could have the music, and I did all of that, so I'm going to put that in. And kicking off this set, I just think it's just a wonderful song to throw in once in a while in the mix, because I know I really enjoy it, and I always get good feedback. People do enjoy this track. The great Nina Simone with the track Cinnamon. Cinnamon. I think it's fantastic, and I always love spinning this. And I always love the remixes that other people do of it. It's just one of those things, man. I don't know if it's her vocals or the bouncing piano. It's just all really, really works. Starting things off, Nina Simone, Steel City Music, Center Man.
Cry out.